The Gospel of the Kingdom by A.S. Copley. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Matthew 4, verses 22 and 23. Observe that Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the church. The healing of the people by his mighty power and by the power of God through the disciples was a preparation of Israel for a new age, which was just about to dawn. Immediately after Jesus was crucified and taken back to heaven, the Holy Spirit was poured out and a new age was introduced. Apparently, it was the millennial age, which it would have been if Israel had received Jesus then as their Messiah. For several years, the mighty miracle-working power of God, which will grace the beginning of the millennium, was displayed. Until God showed them differently, the apostles believed that the reign of Christ was due and that he would return immediately. But the Jewish nation rejected Christ. Therefore, he had to postpone his coming to reign. Instead thereof, this church age, like a vast parenthesis, was introduced. Now, what Jesus and his disciples wrought before Pentecost is again before us on a far larger scale. The greater works which he foretold are being accomplished, John 5:20 and John 14:12. As their ministry prepared Israel and the world for an earnest of the millennial age or period, so his ministry today, through representatives, is preparing the people for the actual soon coming millennial age, the new age of which we hear so much said. Today, many are preaching the gospel of the kingdom rather than the gospel of the church. Comparatively few are really looking for and qualifying for translation, and many who expect translation also expect to return and reign on the earth. I want to emphasize this fact that Jesus did not preach the gospel of the church. He did not declare the doctrine of the high, upward calling and of the heavenly kingdom. Neither did the 12 apostles, even after Pentecost. It was not then time for that message. That was left for Paul, who should bring on the stage another line of gospel ministers. Jesus announced the gospel of the kingdom of God on earth, for his message was preeminently to an earth-dwelling people who entertained terrestrial hopes and glory. Peter, James, and John also preached that same kingdom gospel, and no other, for they knew no other. This church gospel was a secret hid in God and afterward revealed to Paul, Ephesians 3:9. God confirmed the ministry of Jesus and of the apostles by granting mighty signs and wonders, Romans 15:19. Jesus went about all Galilee. The word Galilee means circuit, hence it represents the world, or at least where God has a people. Through his Spirit-filled ministers, Jesus has been going everywhere the last few years, working mighty signs and wonders, getting the people ready for his second advent and 1,000-year reign. At this point, consider a remarkable statement of our Lord's. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Matthew 10:23b. This was fulfilled, for he was transfigured before them sometime afterward. Matthew 17:1-8. But that transfiguration was the power and coming of Jesus in type, as 2 Peter 1:16-18 shows plainly. Now mark this and marvel. Matthew 10:22 proves that Jesus spoke of the end of this age, for he said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved," which identical words he uttered in his end time address in Matthew 24:13. Furthermore, if his transfiguration was typical of his revelation, then also those local cities were typical of saint-inhabited cities today throughout the world. As they failed to reach all the cities of Israel before his transfiguration, likewise before all the modern cities of Israel can be reached with the kingdom gospel, the Lord will have come. It is a common thing to read or hear saints exclaim, "We must hurry and give the gospel to the world before Jesus comes." You may believe me or not, but the great majority of Pentecostal preachers are emphasizing the kingdom message. I repeat it, their message is the gospel of the kingdom. They little understand church truth. They little comprehend the purpose and plan of God concerning the church, the body of Christ. They little know what it means to be joined to Christ and be actually one with Him. I dare say that this is a strange doctrine with most of them. The oneness of Christ with His people, what a precious truth. But who grasps it? Therefore, the precipitation of Pentecostal power and the healing of the sick are the supreme task with the ministers generally. They are fitting men for the second advent of the Lord. And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and He healed them. Matthew 4:24. Syria represents the Gentile world. In like manner today, the fame of Jesus as the all-sufficient healer of men's bodies is spread worldwide. Truly, He deserves the honor. Before the awful judgments fall upon the world, God will see to it that men will find absolutely no excuse for rejecting His dear Son. And they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments. Is that not what is happening today? Are they not bringing to the famous evangelists all those who are sick of diverse diseases and torments? And are they not being cured? Oh, I praise God that the same mighty works are being wrought today as in the beginning. That is why Paul wrote us saying, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Philippians 1:18. Whatever the motive of the preacher may be, if he preaches Christ, let us rejoice. If he calls the attention of the people to Jesus Christ, even by announcing only part of the gospel, we ought to rejoice. Consider that in the pulpits today, ministers stand and blaspheme God and His Son and His Word, belittle the atonement, set aside the inspiration of the Scriptures, and deny the deity of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. When we know that so-called Christian ministers blasphemously insult and reject the Holy Spirit, we should be glad that there are some who still hold fast to the fundamentals and preach Christ sufficiently to get men saved and healed in the body. And there followed Him great multitudes, Matthew 5:25a. Jesus fed as many as 14,000 at one meeting. This explains why large companies gather to hear some men today. This was a picture of the end time. God's infinite grace is back of it all to bring the wicked age face to face with the mighty Redeemer, Savior, and Physician before the end comes. This explains the phenomenal success of some world-famed evangelists. They preach Christ as the Savior from sin, sickness, and hell in view of the soon coming of Him whose right it is to reign. God seems to wink at some of the methods which they use, methods that more spiritual workers could not employ. He takes advantage of every providence to attract a lost world to His dear Son, that men may be saved and escape the terrible things that are about to envelop this world. O wondrous grace! O boundless love! There are many false prophets and remedies and false healers everywhere. Do you wonder that God is moving men to sound out the name of Jesus, the only name that can save and heal? Jesus only is the true emancipator. He will not arise from somewhere. He was raised nearly 2,000 years ago. He will come from heaven, flashing forth like the lightning. The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8.